Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 21. In this passage of Scripture, John outlines for us five grounds upon which a believer can build an assurance of salvation. In the first part of the broadcast, Dr. Beakey spoke of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the sureness of the apostolic testimony, and also one's personal confession of Jesus Christ. Now Dr. Beakey continues to speak of the experience of God's love and also the practice of God's love. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear.
But then there's a fourth thing, experiencing God's love. John says that a fourth ground, a fourth source of growing in assurance is the experience of God's love. He says that will give us confidence and boldness on the great day of judgment. Listen to what he says, verses 16. B through 18a. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Oh, so what is John really saying here? It's so packed, it's hard to grasp it all, isn't it? Well, John is saying that as we face the awesome judgment day, when God will make that irreversible decision as to who is saved and who is unsaved, the justified and the unjustified, the lovers of Christ and the ignorers of Christ, we can look at our own lives and say, by grace, as Christ is, so are we in this world. By grace, we have signs and marks and fruits in our lives that resemble Him. Likeness to the Lord Jesus Christ is a primary evidence of God and His love being in you. Remember we saw that last week, that likeness was a proof of relationship. Likeness is a proof of relationship. And that's why when a believer becomes Christ-like, I cannot deny that he sees those Christ-like fruits in his life, even though they're not as strong as he wishes. Never are as strong as he wishes. He does not need to be afraid with a slavish fear on the day of judgment that God will cast him out. Because what will happen on the day of judgment is that God will look upon him and say, I know you. I recognize you. Because I see the image of my Son penciled upon you. You are my child. So what John is really pressing home on us here is that when a person is born again and becomes a believer, God changes that person. The Holy Spirit who dwells within isn't passive. The Holy Spirit does an active work. The Holy Spirit changes me if I'm a believer. That change may be very slow, all too slow for what we desire. It may be painful, very painful, crucifying me to my flesh, but it will change. And how will it change? Well, God will cause my life increasingly to take on more and more of a God-shaped contour. God will make His people more like Himself. That's His goal. That's the goal of conversion. That's the goal of regeneration. It's the goal of everything, Paul says in Romans 8:29. It's the goal of election, that he might conform me to the image of his Son. And you see, when this becomes evident in my life, when my selfishness gets a blow, when my pride gets a blow, when I learn to love other people more than I ever have done before, when I have a more burning love for God's kingdom and for His glory and for His name than ever before, and I see these truths in my life, it gives me confidence, says John, that on the day of judgment, all will be well, because the gospel, not because of what I have done, but because of what God has done by using the gospel through the tutelage of His Spirit to change me and to fit me and prepare me for the heavenly mansions above. And all those marks of grace, John summarizes up in one word: love. True love. And so he says, it's this true love that casts out fear. Now, it's very important to grasp what he means by that. True love casts out fear. He uses the Greek word, phobia. Phobos, from which we get phobia. And you know that a phobia can usually mean some extreme dread or terror of something. But the word phobia can also mean, phobos in Greek, reverence or awe for something. And of course, a childlike fear of God, a holy reverence of God, that kind of fear is a good thing. It's a healthy thing. This is a child who loves his daddy or mommy very much will have a reverential, childlike fear for a parent. That's a good thing. But John is striking out at this dreaded fear, this slavish fear. He says, that kind of fear involves torment or punishment, he says in verse 18. Now, unbelievers, of course, false professors, those who may have been at the Lord's table wrongly, or those who didn't come at all and they shouldn't have come, they ought to be afraid of God. They ought to have a slavish fear as well, because God's punishment against sin is real, and they are not saved. But true children of God, who have love for God, because He has first loved them, John says, that very love in them is a testimony that they ought not fear with the slavish fear. That's why Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if the Spirit indwells us, John says, we do not have to be overcome by fear. Rather, we have all the resources we need in Christ and in His Spirit to overcome fear. Slavish fear, that is. Someone has once said, and I think rightly so, that slavish fear is the dark room where the devil takes you to develop your negatives. Slavish fear is the dark room where the devil takes you to develop your negatives. You see, fear is simply unbelief in disguise. It's not pleasing to the Lord. How would you as a parent feel if your children were deathly afraid of you? That they didn't have a childlike fear, but they had a slavish fear. They hated you, and they were afraid of you, and so they obeyed because they had to. Well, that wouldn't please you at all. You see, fear, slavish fear, is attached to sin. Slavish fear originated in paradise, didn't it? It was a fruit of listening to Satan and disobeying God. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I hid myself because I was naked and I was afraid, said Adam. A slavish fear. But John says here, if you're a true Christian, if you're trusting in God's love, if you love Him because He first loved you, you do not need to be afraid of God. You may not be what you want to be. You may fail the Lord daily, as we all do. But you don't need to be afraid of God. Fear, he says, has to do with punishment. And Christ has borne our punishment. The punishment had to come. But the punishment has fallen on Jesus. The punishment is paid. And therefore Paul says, Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So God's love in Christ is our assurance. It's a solid source of our insurance. And that love then casts out fear. Love is the one force in all the world that is greater than fear. Fear prevails where God's love is not understood and not trusted. And that can happen in even the most advanced child of God. You can fall back into that. And sometimes you get angry at yourself for doing that, don't you? You know you love God. You cannot deny it. Thou knowest all things, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. There's no doubt about that. And you know that the only reason you love God is because He first loves you. You can't deny that, because you never would have loved Him if He didn't love you. And yet, why in the world do I get afraid again? Well, I lose my grip on that love. When I lose my grip on that love, fear gains the upper hand. And it's ridiculous. Yes, it's worse. It's sin. It's displeasing to the Lord. So John says, we get our assurance when love comes into our lives. The God who is love, and He wins us and woos us and conquers us and then reshapes us. And then as He reshapes us, He teaches us whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And we begin to see a Father's hand. As we begin to get more mature, as we begin to grow in assurance, we begin to understand more and more that God's discipline, instead of, like Job's three friends thought, testifying of God's anger against us, actually testifies of God's love for us. And God reshapes us so that His discipline actually improves our love for Him. Where would you be if God never disciplined you, never afflicted you, never chastened you? Where would your love grow? It would grow down. It wouldn't grow up. It wouldn't multiply. So you see what John says. The love of God is there. It's an ocean. It's a bottomless ocean. And we need to simply ask the Spirit that we may receive strength to let that love bathe our minds daily and wash away all our fear. That's what John says. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Not made mature, that means, in love. Well, let me use a human example. Maybe that will be helpful. If you've been married for 20 years, and you have a wonderful relationship with your wife, you know that that relationship functions by love. And you have confidence in that relationship. You have confidence in your spouse. You have confidence in his or her love. And all 20 years, that love has been growing. And you could say, I love that woman, I love that man more than yesterday and less than tomorrow. It's going to grow tomorrow too. That's beautiful. Now, even the best marriage has imperfect love. It's not fully mature. So the best relationship with God, of a child of God here on earth, has spots of immaturity. It will only be perfectly mature in heaven. And oh, what a day that will be. What love that will be. To love Him as He loves me with perfection. Never to let Him down again. Never to betray that love. Never to deny that I know Him. Never to doubt in the smallest way. But John says, you see here, that the more we grow in assurance, the more we come. So every time you come to the Lord's Supper, you look back 3 months ago, who kept you those 3 months? The love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so you get a little more strength and you go on. You say, well, if He kept me through those 3 months of trial, He can keep me through the next three. And so you press on, you go forward in His love. And the more you experience of His faithfulness, the more you grow in assurance. The Canons of Dort and the Westminster Confession both say that there are three grounds of assurance: the promises of God, the reflex act of faith, and the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about those many times. You should know them very well, I would think, by now. But there is this fourth thing that could well be added as an ingredient all by itself. And I'm not sure how to call it, but I would call it something like this: the record of God's love to us. You see, God has a spotless record with every one of His children. God has never done one bad thing to me. You can say that too. As a child of God, you can say that, I'm sure. No matter how hard your road has been, no matter how impossible, you've needed every trial. And when you see it, you understand it, and you believe it, and you love Him for it. He's been a faithful Father. He's disciplined you when you needed it. He's loved you all the time. He's never failed. Now, as that record of God's love grows, and it multiplies into years and decades, my assurance grows in God, not in myself, because my record is abysmal, but it grows in God. And it's that love that casts out fear and allows me to love God without slavish fear. So that the worst thing in my life is not that I'm afraid of going to hell. The worst thing in my life is that I'm afraid of offending a God who's been so loving to me. You see, that's how assurance grows and becomes more mature. And that's what God calls us to. Post-communion. And so, I think Calvin grasped it very well in this short statement. He says, the love of God, when really known, tranquilizes the heart. Takes away all the fear. Lets me rest in peace in God. You see, if I'm continuing to live in fear, I have not reached spiritual maturity, John says. If slavish fear dominates my life, I may still be a believer, but I'm only a babe in grace. Because as I grow in the love of God, I will realize the constancy of that love, the patience of that love, the beauty of that love, the steadfastness of that love, and that will more and more cast out slavish fear. But then finally, fifthly, John says, this love must not only be experienced, and that's a source of assurance, but it must also be practiced, and that too is a source of assurance. He says that in verses 20 and 21. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So John's always coming back to this, isn't he? He's coming back full circle once more. He's always saying, because of the Gnostics who were always claiming great things in their relationship with God but didn't show up with people, he's always saying, if you have these things with God I'm testing you on, you will show them also to your neighbor. The proof is in the pudding, so to speak. The proof is in your daily walk of life. You claim vertical love between God and you, there will be horizontal love between you and your neighbor. If you truly love the Lord Jesus, the acid test is you will love the people of God. Yes, you will have a love for all people. So, if you don't love your brother, you expose yourself, John says. You expose that you're not a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you will manifest it in kindness and mercy and generosity and love and joy and peace, all those fruits of the Spirit of Galatians 5, also to your brother. So the bottom line, and this is what John's been getting at all epistle long, is that the gospel does not come simply to mend our heads, but it comes to fix our hearts. It comes to recenter our lives in God. Now, all five of these things, if you really want to grow in them, necessitate sinking your life into God. And how do you do that? By sinking your life into His Word. You see, you can come from Lord's Supper to Lord's Supper, and you can survive. At very best, perhaps, at very best, you'll tread water spiritually. But if you really want to grow, if you really want growing assurance, growing love, growing relationships with God and with man, you need to sink your life into the Word of God, from out of which all these sources of assurance flow. It's only the gospel. The gospel studied, the gospel prayed over, the gospel meditated, the gospel loved, the gospel exercised, the gospel put into practice, that can make our hearts be more and more united to God and to my neighbor. And so you see, the main thing in the end of the day is not me and my feelings and my experiences and my gifts and my needs and my fulfillment, as important as some of these things are. But the main thing at the end of the day is the triune God and His Word and His glory and His gospel. The Westminster Shorter Catechism put it so beautifully. This is what you need to truly believe and to practice if you want to grow in assurance. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And how do you enjoy Him? By glorifying Him. By loving Him who first loved you. So, we do love Him if we're true Christians. But we do love Him because He first loved us. You see, Christian love, Reverend Mandelsbaugh said that this morning, is always responsive love. God's love is always initiatory love. It is when God's love in Christ grips us that we begin to love other people. Christian love is always the response of a saved sinner to a gracious Savior. Well, that leaves me with just one question that you need answered. How do I know if my love and my fear are true love, true fear, or just slavish fear, a natural love? Well, if you love God with a childlike fear, you are concerned about the God-dishonoring character of sin. And if you relate to God only by way of slavish fear, you have a legalistic attitude of servitude to God. Your enmity is not broken. You really love yourself. Slavish fear loves the person himself, not God. Slavish fear wants to get away with what it can get away with. Childlike fear just wants to love God for His own sake. Slavish fear will never fly to Jesus Christ. Childlike fear, like a child that loves his daddy when he does something wrong, will fly to the Heavenly Father in Christ. You see, slavish fear is proud. Slavish fear tries to maintain its own. Childlike fear is humble. It surrenders all into the hands of the Savior. Childlike fear truly loves God. How then do I know that I love Him? Well, how do you know you love a human being? Love longs to please. Love puts that person first. Love is active. Love loves the friends of the one loved. Love wants more love, wants more intimacy. So it is with God. If I love God, God is number one. If I love God, I long to please Him. If I love God, I long to boast of Him. If I love God, my love is active. I long to grow in that love. I love the friends of God. I love the people of God. And that love is unconquerable. If I love God, I cannot not love God. He's too lovable not to love. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Yes, I love God because His love has conquered me. And now no one can conquer my love for Him. Because His love is the foundation of my love. And when I realize that, I will grow in assurance. And I will leave the Lord's Supper, desiring to sink my life in His Word and to live that Word as I relate to other people. Oh, may God help us not to think the Lord's Supper is now past, but to put the love of Jesus we've heard, and we've seen, and we've tasted at the supper into action in our own hearts and in our own lives. Not in our own strength. Don't do that. That will be a disaster. But leaning upon the Holy Spirit who resides in us, asking Him, begging of Him to give us strength to love God, to love our neighbor, because God first loved us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live."